Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19:14. Proverbs 29:11. A foolish person lets his anger run wild, but a wise person keeps himself under control. Proverbs 29:11. Galatians 1:4. The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us out of this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. Galatians 1:4. Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who trust in him. Nahum 1:7. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Proverbs 11:2. Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 7. We've been analyzing this magnificent church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, beginning with verse 1 and going down through verse 7. In a few moments, we're going to read that entire passage, but our emphasis again today is on Revelation chapter 2, the 7th verse, and about the middle of the verse. And so we'll be there in just a little while. Our purpose for being here today is to focus our minds upon the eternal truths of God's Word. God has given to us, as we've said many times, wonderful, wonderful blessings. One of the great blessings of the Christian life is to study God's Word, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our scripture reading and our study for today. May we pray together, please. Father, we are thankful that we are privileged to be here this morning once again to focus our minds upon eternal truths. We are keenly aware of the fact that life at the longest is extremely short. Therefore, help us to major on the major factors of life and minor on the insignificant things of life. We realize how important it is for us today as believers to understand that you have a plan for us, a plan of peace and contentment and happiness. We pray that we will understand that more clearly and that we'll live our lives each day understanding that you have a purpose and a plan for our continuing upon this earth. As long as you want us here, you desire that we're here, we're thankful for that wonderful fact. But we realize also that there will be a point of time when that moment will be for us to depart from this life. And when that time comes, we will be absent from the body. We'll be at home with our Savior. And we're keenly aware of the fact today that life at the longest here is just the preparation place for us to be ready for where we'll be throughout eternity. And so we're thankful this morning that you've given us what we need for happiness and joy and peace and contentment while we're here on the earth. Bless, we pray, each person in this auditorium today and those who will hear this message by way of the internet. We pray that your will shall be accomplished, and we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. We read our beginning verse with chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, to the one who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the 7 golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, that you cannot endure evil men, And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not. And you found them to be false. You have perseverance and have endured for my sake, and have not grown weary. Revelation chapter 2, now verse 4. But I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Remember therefore from where you've fallen. Repent. Do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Verse 6, yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now verse 7 of Revelation chapter 2, he who has an ear, listen, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. We've emphasized the fact that all of us are familiar with the GPS system. Most of you probably have this on your vehicle, and you've traveled some, and as a result of traveling, you have utilized the GPS system. It is a system that is known as a satellite navigation system. The GPS stands for Global Positioning System. We reminded you of that last Wednesday night, just in case you didn't know what GPS stood for. It stands for Global Positioning System. We've chosen to use the DPS, which is the Divine Power System. And we have this now on the screen for you to be able to see. We call this the Heavenly Navigation System, the Divine Power System. We've emphasized the fact that God has given to us a magnificent plan. It's a plan of joy and happiness. And when we find ourselves in that Divine Power System, we will find ourselves as happy, radiant, triumphant individuals. Many times you've seen this. We're changing it up just a little bit. But the emphasis is on the Divine Power System. It emphasizes the filling of the Holy Spirit. It emphasizes objectivity. It emphasizes humility. It emphasizes perception and application, which we call spiritual momentum. God's plan for all of us as believers is that we live our lives inside of this Divine Power System. If we do that, we will find ourselves utilizing the other steps of the system, which emphasizes our personal relationship to our Heavenly Father, personal love for God, personal and impersonal love for mankind. This emphasizes our relationship to our companion and to our friends. We will emphasize step 7, which is momentum testing, and then step 8, which is happiness of God. The emphasis for step 8 is from the Greek word chara, C-H-A-R-A, which is an emphasis upon happiness. We've emphasized this before, and I repeat now, that spiritual IQ is only effective inside the Divine Power System. We're going to remove all of these diagrams in just a few moments and get back to our verse of Scripture. But I wanted you to see that God has a plan for all of us. And that plan, as we go back to the book of Genesis, is a plan of joy, peace, contentment, happiness in our relationship to our Heavenly Father. We have understood in the past, and we've reiterated in recent days, that spiritual IQ is only effective inside this Divine Power sphere. If we realize the importance of living our lives in proper relationship to the Lord, we will understand the importance of the filling of the Holy Spirit. We will understand having a relaxed mental attitude and objectivity. We'll have an understanding of enforced humility, genuine humility, and all the various facets related to humility. And then we will understand the importance of spiritual momentum, which is perception and application to the wonderful Word of God. We've emphasized the global positioning system. We're emphasizing now the heavenly navigation system, which is the divine power system. Now we're looking back at our verse in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. We discover that the Lord is saying, to the one having an ear, let him hear. And we've emphasized in the past that the word let him hear there is not to be translated let him hear, but it is the verb in the imperative mood, which is the mood of command. And so if you'll notice, it says that we are to listen and pay attention to what God has to say. The reason why I point this out is that the word is akouo, A-K-O-U-O. And the way that the word is used is that it is a verb in the imperative mood. The imperative mood is the mood of command. And so this is saying, all of us have ears, and we have the responsibility of utilizing our hearing apparatus to listen to what the Spirit is saying to our individual hearts. And in this relationship, what the Spirit says to the churches. It takes us then to the middle part of this verse, which says, to the one overcoming, I will give to him to eat of the tree of life. We want to pause for a few moments and look at this, because I want you to see how powerful this part of the verse is. All of the verse is powerful, but this part of the verse applies to you and me in our daily living. You'll notice that up here it says, the one having an ear. Here it says, to the one overcoming. And the Greek word there is nikao, which is N-I-K-A-O. If you'll notice the way the word is used, it is a participle. And you look at this word nikao, which means a victor, overcoming, a triumphant person. You'll notice that it emphasizes by the present tense continuous action. You and I have the responsibility of continually being victorious and triumphant. The active voice says that each believer makes a decision on a daily basis of whether we're going to be triumphant or victorious. And then it's a participle, and you'll notice that it is a dative masculine singular, which means that this is a dative of advantage. This simply means that it is to our advantage to realize the importance of staying inside this divine power system and growing on a day-by-day basis. Now, what is interesting in this verse of Scripture, and the reason why I come back to it today, is that now it emphasizes, I will give to him personally, individually. So I want you to move away from thoughts of congregation or thousands of people, and let yourself draw this down to one individual, and that's to yourself, to the one overcoming. That simply means that God has given you the responsibility of advancing and growing on a day-by-day basis. We've said this oftentimes, that you're to draw an invisible circle around yourself and just be aware of the fact that the Spirit of God is speaking to the person inside of that invisible circle, which is you. And that's the one that's being presented here. To the one overcoming, I will give to him to eat of the tree of life. Now, the thought that I have is, what does it mean when it talks about the tree of life? Well, in order to understand the tree of life, we're going to have to be aware of the fact that the tree of life is presented to us in various books of the Bible. It's presented to us in the book of Genesis. It's presented to us in the book of Revelation. It's presented to us in the book of Proverbs. So if I were you, I would write these three books down: Genesis, Revelation, and Proverbs. Actually, the tree of life is a symbol of eternal life. It's a symbol of happiness, of joy, of contentment, of victory, of triumph. So that leads me to ask you to open your Bible now to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verse 9, chapter 3, verses 22 and 24. I'm going to ask, if you will, please to turn to that passage, because I believe it'll be a lot more meaningful to you if you'll turn and look at these magnificent verses of Scripture. In this second chapter of the book of Genesis, we discover that the Lord is doing various things, and we discover that the Lord planted a garden, verse 8 says, toward the east in Eden, and there He placed a man whom He had formed. Now, most of you are aware of the fact of how God put man on the earth to begin with, so we won't get into that. I need to tell you, however, that God made man out of dirt, and God made man out of dirty dirt. And so if you start thinking of yourself as something important, just remember how and why and where you came from. So the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there He placed the man whom He had formed. Now we look at verse 9. And out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight, good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that there's an emphasis here upon trees in the garden. We discover that there are three trees presented here. We're going to be looking at those, and then there is another tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the second session today, we're going to be getting into that more in detail, but what we're trying to do now is to lay a foundation and give you an overview. Let me read verse 9 again. Out of the ground, the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, the tree of life and also in the midst of the garden. Stop right there and go down to verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely." Verse 17. "But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die." On the screen I have for you some interesting information. We discover that the tree is related to the symbol of eternal life. We have emphasized the fact, and we repeat now, that the tree relates to joy, peace, contentment, happiness. We see it in Genesis 2:9, because there's an emphasis here upon the fact that the tree in the garden was good for food. It was good for our pleasure. So there's an emphasis upon the soul. There's an emphasis upon the body. And there's an emphasis upon God's plan for mankind to have total joy, peace, and contentment and happiness. We see also that the tree is related to the New Jerusalem in Revelation 22:2 and verse 14. And we're not going to be dealing with that at this point. Also, the tree is presented to us by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:2 through 4, the third heaven where the Apostle Paul went. That is also a passage about which we will not emphasize now. The passages of Scripture which we now emphasize will be Proverbs 3:13 through 18, Proverbs chapter 11 to 31, Proverbs 13:10 through 16, and Proverbs chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. I begin now to give you some points, and we will understand this more clearly as we move along. Number one, the tree of life is the total happiness for which man was designed by creation before he sinned. And so I want to spend a little bit of time right there and let you look at that point. The tree of life is the total happiness for which man was designed by creation before he sinned. It's very important for us to take a good look at what things were like before the fall and what things were like after the fall. The tree of life is the total happiness for mankind. Mankind was designed for happiness by creation before he sinned. Now, if you'll keep that in mind, I believe that the next points will be very important and clear for you. References to the tree of life are confined generally, as I've already said this morning, to the three books, Genesis, Revelation, and Proverbs. In the light of that, full capacity for eternal blessing and happiness is related to the tree of life. We'll stop right there and analyze that for a few moments. Full happiness, complete joy and happiness for eternal blessing and happiness is related to the tree of life. The more we talk about this, the more you'll be able to understand the importance of what the tree of life is all about. Full capacity for eternal blessing and happiness is related to the tree of life. Number four, the tree of life is related to immortality, where capacity for happiness is perpetuated apart from any act of volition in eternity to destroy that happiness. Now again, we need to analyze that. The tree of life is related to immortality, where capacity for happiness is perpetuated apart from any act of volition in eternity to destroy that happiness. Now, we're stopping right there to let you analyze that and get a clear picture in your thinking. The tree of life is related to immortality, where capacity for happiness is perpetuated from any act of volition in eternity to destroy that happiness. What we're saying here, and I'm sure that you're aware of the fact, that some things took place after the fall, and some things took place that caused mankind to be in a position of detriment, so to speak. The fall of man, Adam and Eve, we'll not get into that more until later, but I'm trying to let you see what's taking place before the fall. The tree of life in the garden is related to immortality, where capacity for happiness is perpetuated apart from any act of volition in eternity to destroy that happiness. At the present time, we can use our volition to mess up our happiness. But in eternity, volition could not be used to destroy that happiness, and cannot be used in the future, in eternity, to destroy that happiness. Do you understand what is being said there? It's something that you need to analyze, and that is that, and we'll go back and look at it, the tree of life is related to immortality, where capacity for happiness is perpetuated. What I'm saying to you, and you already know this, that as long as Adam and Eve were in the garden and they had not sinned and they had not disobeyed the direct plan of God, they were in a state of happiness. We understand that, don't we? We also understand that there were some decisions made by Eve and by Adam, and as a result of their decision, there was the fall of mankind, and as a result of that, there is unhappiness. So I want you to see where happiness is on the one hand. I want you to be able to see where happiness is where we are today. And I've already emphasized that, and I think you're drawing the conclusions and you're seeing that the limited happiness that we have on the earth now is found only inside of the divine power system. If you're understanding that, you're going to be able to appreciate how fantastic and how important the divine power system is. Let's go back to verse number 4. The tree of life is related to immortality, where capacity for happiness is perpetuated apart from any act of volition in eternity to destroy that happiness. At the present time, however, we can use our volition to mess up our happiness. But in eternity, volition in the past could not be used, and in the future cannot be used to destroy happiness. Let me see if I can tell you what I just said. When you die and go to heaven, you're not going to be able to make a decision to destroy your happiness. That's what I'm trying to get over. Okay. Number five. In eternity, man will not be able, we're talking about in the future, in resurrection body, to repeat the fall of the original parents. That's Adam and the woman. Or to sin as they did in the garden. This is very, very, very important for us to see. When you and I breathe our last breath and we depart from this life and we're in the presence of the Lord forever and ever, we will not have any problem anymore with the old sinful nature. We will be in the Lord's presence, and we will not be able in resurrection body to make any decisions to repeat the fall of our original parents or to sin as they did in the garden. Number six, the tree of life then is related to immortality, and immortality under the status of happiness. Eternal happiness to a greater or lesser degree. What I need to say again now, God has given us a magnificent plan of happiness, eternal joy complete in our souls, even though we do not at this present time find ourselves without a sinful nature and with a resurrection body. We are on this earth, and God has planned a way for us to be victorious and triumphant and happy. And we have to understand that that relates to the tree of life. Number seven, there will be degrees of happiness in heaven as well as degrees of rewards in heaven. And I put a question, why? And then I answered that here because winners are authorized to eat in the future from the tree of life. And I put down also that some heavenly desserts will not be made available to losers. And you'll have to be thinking about that for a good long while, because it is a fantastic thought indeed. There will be degrees of happiness in heaven as well as degrees of rewards. Why? Because winners are authorized to eat from the tree of life, and some heavenly desserts will not be made available to losers. Number eight, the cosmic believers will have a resurrection body, since their failures in life will not in any way negate their eternal life. But some heavenly privileges will be omitted. You can put this down, and then we can go to the next section. So I want you to be able to see that we have some fantastic things to analyze. Let's look at this number eight again. The cosmic believers will have a resurrection body, since their failures in life will not in any way negate their eternal life. But some heavenly privileges will be omitted. Over a period of time, we'll get more into this. You'll be able to see it more clearly. Cursed or blessed by association. We can be cursed by association with people or blessed by association with God and His Word. It's very important that I take a few moments to analyze that statement. We can be cursed by association with people or blessed by association with God and His Word. Most of you by now have heard this information on personal and impersonal love. When I say I love you, we've said many times that there is a simple sentence that has a subject, a verb, and a direct object. We've emphasized the importance of impersonal love where the emphasis is on the subject and not on the direct object. The emphasis there is upon the qualitative aspects of the subject. If you, the subject, I, are properly related to the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's possible for you to have the right attitude toward other individuals, whether you are in agreement or not in agreement with their lifestyle and with their deeds. That's the reason why the Lord said in this magnificent passage of Scripture in Revelation chapter 2, I appreciate you Ephesians because you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Doesn't say, I appreciate you because you hate the Nicolaitans. It says, I appreciate you and I'm in agreement with you because you detest the deeds, the activities, the lifestyle of the Nicolaitans who were involved in the Phaedic cult and other things. Now, what that is also saying to us today is that we do not have to agree with the lifestyle, and we can detest the lifestyle of other individuals, but that doesn't mean that we should not love them as individuals. Because the emphasis there is not upon the object. The emphasis is there is upon the qualitative aspects of the subject. We can be cursed by association with people, or we can be blessed by association with God and His Word. The emphasis there is, if we're properly related to God and His Word, then we'll have the right attitude toward other individuals, and we will be blessed because of God and our relationship to Him and what He has to say for us in His Word. Now, let's go into the points. Tremendous conflict in the Garden of Eden continues to have repercussions to this very day. There's no question about that. I'm sure that all of you are aware of the fact that you have, and I have, a sinful nature. So we have then the emphasis on the fact that we're born physically alive and spiritually dead. We're born with the imputation of Adam's sin. We have a sinful nature, no doubt about that. So we have tremendous conflict in our day. The tremendous conflict in the Garden of Eden continues to have repercussions to this very time. Let's look at number two. At the time of the woman's sin and her spiritual death, Adam was still in a state of perfect happiness. Now I want you to analyze that with me. I don't want you to get mad at the women today. I just want you to understand what we're trying to see here. At the time of the woman's sin and her spiritual death, Adam was still in a state of perfect happiness. If you didn't get this, the garden was a place of happiness. And in that place of happiness, there were three major trees. We'll talk about those in the next session. These trees related to the soul, the body, and the complete plus happiness of individuals. The three trees in the garden. But there was a fourth tree, and the fourth tree was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord says, stay away from that tree. We're talking about the first three trees. At the time of the woman's sin and her spiritual death, Adam was still in a state of perfect happiness. Now, please look at this. Number three, Adam could choose perfect happiness with God in the garden or unhappiness with a woman outside the garden. Now, you folks don't like to think about that. I realize that. Especially you women, you don't like to think about that. And you men don't want to admit that women have a tremendous influence in your lives. You don't want to admit that. That's okay. I just want you to be very factual and honest with this situation today. Adam could choose the way he was after Eve had fallen. He could choose the way he was and continue that way. Adam could choose perfect happiness with God in the garden or unhappiness with the woman outside the garden. Look at number four. Unhappiness with the woman became the winner. Adam could choose, and he did. He made a wrong decision, and he was cursed by association. Did you get that? Number five, unhappiness always attacks happiness. If you don't get anything else, please get this. We started off today by telling you that God has a plan of happiness. That plan of happiness is for the believer to live his, her life inside the divine power sphere. This is a system that God has given us so that we can have happiness. Unhappiness always attacks happiness. For happiness is the invention of God to be maintained by means of God's truth in the soul. So if we are perceptive to God's Word, filled with the Holy Spirit, we have a relaxed mental attitude, we have humility, we are growing and advancing spiritually, we will be able to fulfill all those other points down at the bottom of that diagram: personal love for God, a right relationship to a companion, a right relationship to friends. We'll move along, we'll face undeserved suffering, and we'll move right along, and we'll have total joy, peace, and happiness. Unhappiness always attacks happiness. For happiness is the invention of God to be maintained by means of God's Word in the soul. I must hasten. Number six. No one can remain happy by association with unhappy people unless the person stays in the divine power system. Have you ever been around unhappy people? And if you're not careful, you'll find yourself unhappy. Either they'll influence you, or you'll try to influence them, or you'll make a decision to leave them alone. No one remains happy by association with unhappy people unless they stay in the divine power system. Number seven, unhappy people are found in a lot of different places: social life, marriage, professional life. I gave a list of these and could have given more, but I stopped right there. Home life and so forth. Unhappy people are found in a lot of different places, and they will cause a believer to be unhappy unless that believer is saturated with the Word of God and living inside of the right sphere of power. In other words, number eight, let's go back on Adam. The pull on Adam in the garden before he sinned was stronger in the direction of the unhappy woman who had sinned. The pull of Adam in the garden before he sinned was stronger in the direction of the unhappy woman who had sinned than in the direction of God, who had provided the categories of trees in the garden for happiness. We've got to get the mental picture of the tree of life related to happiness. The pull on Adam in the garden before he sinned was stronger in the direction of now the unhappy woman who had sinned and fallen than the direction of God, who had provided the categories of trees in the garden for his happiness. Okay, let's draw some final conclusions. You can associate with unhappy people and be happy, but most people are not strong enough to do that. You can associate with unhappy people and be happy, but most people are not strong enough to do it. Also, I have on the screen, life in the divine power system is the only way for happiness. In other words, we accept the tree of life, which is God's plan for happiness. And then I need to tell you that unhappiness breeds unhappiness. And here's the conclusion. Believers associated with unhappy people are prone also to be unhappy. Believers associated with unhappy people are prone to unhappiness. Therefore, believers, beware that your association with unhappy people do not reject or ignore your only source of happiness. If you find yourself along with people who are unhappy, frustrated, confused, perplexed, bewildered, beware that your association with them and their unhappiness will not cause you to reject and ignore your only source of happiness, which is God's divine power system. Number three, unhappiness is contagious unless one is perceptive and applying truth consistently. Can you see how powerful this is? Unhappiness is contagious unless a person is perceptive and applying truth consistently. Number four, sometimes it takes complete separation. Sometimes complete separation is necessary. If separation is impossible, then the believer must use God's Word to endure on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis. It may be a family situation where separation is not possible, and so you must utilize truth to endure. And number six, the ability to know when to separate and when to endure requires maximum knowledge and wisdom from truth. Rewards will come to the winner, plus access to the tree of life in eternity, which is ultimate happiness forever. I know this morning I've given you a tremendous amount of information. It's just the beginning. So if you don't understand or don't fully comprehend, that's okay. Just stay with us. And let's move into the next session in a little while and see again what all God has in store for us. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful today that you've given us a magnificent system, a system of joy, peace, contentment, happiness, a place where we can be victorious and triumphant. And we're thankful that you've given us the opportunity in these brief years that we have on this earth to have a life filled with joy and peace and contentment. There are those who hear the message today who do not have that joy because they've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. We pray that they will be able to realize that when God loved, He loved the world, and when Christ died, He died for all mankind. And the Scripture says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Father, we're thankful that you've given us the magnificent plan of salvation when Jesus said, "I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no one can come to the Father except by me." That helps us to see that the only way of salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone. And we pray that there will be those who will trust you even now. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.